Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and this is Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me this week is the 1984 championship running back, the Turban Tongo, Lake Hemuli, and his sons, BYU TV sports producer Hema, and former Stanford and BYU fullback Houston. All right, let's talk about the influence real quick that BYU has had on your family and how it's impacted the Hemuli family. Hema, how was BYU viewed in your family growing up? Did you guys go to a lot of games? What was that like?
We didn't go to a lot of games, mostly because, like, they're expensive, and like we lived in Bountiful, so yeah. It's quite a trip to come down to Provo. But we did watch a lot of games on TV and stuff, and and mostly, you know, a lot of the stories and the games that we watched growing up were like old games that our dad or Hema played in, or Vi and stuff like that. So, you know, I would say out of the family, like, I was the biggest BYU fan, mostly because I was around it the longest.
Yeah. Just by that makes sense. Oldest,
you know?
Houston, when you think about BYU, what comes to your mind first?
Dang, that's a lot of stuff. Honestly, BYU, what comes to my mind is just, like, family in the most cliche-ish senses. Like, it really is. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we grew up on it. And even when I was at Stanford, I still was rooting for BYU. Like, I was always a blue blood, and I always will be a blue blood. It's just, it's ingrained in our family, so.
Lake, what does the Polynesian Pipeline and having Kalani Sitake at the helm of the program right now mean to you?
It means a lot. I think if you look at the years that I was here, the Polynesian Pipeline was essential to BYU's success. You know, and Lavelle and Noam Chow did a great job recruiting the players out of Hawaii. You know, you look at Kurt Corvella,
Louis Wong. Yeah.
Anais and all those guys were, and then you know, it caused the Hawaii to hate us because Lavelle and Noam Chow will come in and take all the best players, and then they but now it's the pipeline is because a lot of athletes in the islands are going, you know, to the Big 12s and I think. And so is the members, and I think if BYU concentrate on the members, you know, recruiting the members, I think they'll have success. Kind of like what Lavelle and Noam Chow and them did.
Yeah,
they went after the members. You know, with the money that these athletes are making now, it's unreal. You know, so they'll go to wherever the money is. Mm-hmm. Depends. Mm-hmm. It all depends. But if they have solid foundation growing up in the church and stuff, and you know, and then I think that they can tap into that, to the members. Yeah. It's always good to tap into the members.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think Kalani is great at that exact thing. Yeah. Like, you know, on his show that I produce and stuff, he is not shy about sharing the gospel-oriented principles that he learned in, like, not only his culture but from Lavelle and at this school. And so, like, yeah, I think that, like you were saying, it would be helpful in recruiting the Poly Pipeline.
And he's restoring a lot of it. Like, it's just having a Tongan coach in general brings a lot of, like, notoriety within the community.
Absolutely.
And he's a very charismatic guy. That's,
yeah.
He's not, like, a very silent, like, he's out there, and he's very well-spoken as well. So I think all those qualities together with what he's doing here at BYU is helping that community and raising that pipeline.
Love that guy. Lucky, I want to know, because you brought it up a little bit, what do you feel like you would have done with NIL had they had it back in your day? what would you have gone somewhere else? Would you have still chosen BYU?
Oh, I wouldn't have eaten as much salmon back then.
What was that, 87-cent burrito? That's probably going to have better stuff than that.
I don't know. It's a different...
Yeah.
You know, I can't compare it to anything because... It's a different time
in
recruiting and football. I think when we won the national champ and everybody wanted to change the, you know, the Power Five, make the Power Five, and I think they changed. Money started coming into to the sports, and I think it just ruined it.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I would have liked to have a little bit more in my check when I was at BYU, but yeah, but it's a different time. I just can't imagine getting that kind of money to play college.
Yeah.
You know.
Different world.
A different world, yeah.
All right, guys, it's time. We asked the fans what questions they had for the Hey Mooley Men, and we got some good ones. I'm excited. All right. Josh Pugmire asks, who grows the best facial hair in the family?
Oh, it's got to be
Which is so great because all three of you have a great beard right now.
Well, I've had the least amount of practice since I just came from BYU, but mine looks pretty good for like
it does
a first
look
time.
Bad. It's pretty
Probably
full.
Our dad has nice beard.
Okay.
It's that little white and black mix.
Yeah, a little salt and pepper.
Distinguished.
A little salt and pepper. He also wants to know who had the fastest 40 in their prime.
Lucky.
It's got to be Lucky, right?
Yeah. You see my pro day? Yeah, I'm not very fast.
What about Heaven, though? She seems like she's got some fire in her.
She would have been.
Yeah, Heaven's pretty quick.
Okay, favorite coach you've ever worked with? And this can be for all three of you. We'll start this way, and then we'll go over.
Man, I don't know. Probably my high school coach, Coach Jones. You know, he was great.
Okay.
You know, for me at the time.
Yeah, outside LaBelle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Houston, what about for you?
I've had a lot of coaches, so. I really did enjoy BYU with Kalani. He made it really feel like a home. It was cool, and it was fun. So Kalani, David Shaw was great. But I think my high school coach is what made me, like, really, you know, he's the one that's like, hey, you can get some offers, but you just need a chance. And so Coach Larry Wall from Bountiful gave me a lot of shots, and, you know, I'm always thankful for that.
He instilled that confidence in you. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. All right, last one from him. If you guys could go back and do it all over again, would you still play football or do something like rugby, basketball, or just a different position in football? Let's start with Houston.
So here's the funny stories. I did play rugby in high school.
Okay.
This is like my junior or senior year, and I was, you know, this is when I was getting looked at, but then I like hurt my ankles. Like I got some like double sprained ankles, and I just remember my dad's like, no more rugby.
I'll share a story too about your rugby. Me and my, I think me, I don't know if we were married at the time or if we were just dating or whatever, but we were pretty serious, me and my wife. And we watched Houston play a game. And like in that game, one person broke their arm. Another guy like had a deep gash over his head. Another person like tore their ACL or something like that. And my wife turns into like, our kids are never playing. I'm like, okay.
As Houston's rocking his all blacks hat right now.
I know, right now. Yeah. But what was the original question?
So
again?
Would you say, would you do something other than football, or would you play a different position in football if you could do it all over again?
Honestly, I loved my experience. And I love the fact that fullbacks aren't used very much.
It yeah, that's true.
Feels like kind of like a badge of honor. Like, I played this. So.
Feels like a club.
Yeah. I also don't think I'm fast enough to play anything else. So I've loved being, you know, I love where I'm at, what I did.
Awesome. What about you, Lucky?
I grew up playing rugby. And then I think rugby was still a good sport. I love rugby. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. Football, you know, I ended up playing football in Hawaii and get to love it. And then, you know, with football makes me who I am today. You know, everybody recognized me through football. But, yeah, I would love to play rugby, but football.
That's just a testament of how rough rugby is, right? When you're telling your son, please play football. Don't play rugby. That's crazy. Would you have done anything else, Emma?
Oh, well, after my dad's answer, I feel kind of bad. I would have golfed. I tore my hamstring. I tore up my shoulder. I got beat up.
That's true, so you did.
I would have avoided all that just playing golf.
Just play golf. That's right.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll have more from the Hey Mooleys. This is Royal Legacy.
And now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McLean.
You would need a little NIL money, though, to get into that.
That's true.
All right. Jake Bosley, I think you know him, Emma, asks, Emma, if you had the opportunity to coach football again, would you?
Yes. I mean, I look forward to coaching Hendrix, my son,
yeah,
when he plays like real football. So yeah, I would say that.
Okay. Lock 8, how much did your dad help you on your football journey? And how much was expected of you from him?
I tell you, my dad was a typical Polynesian dad. Very proud, don't say anything, stand on the sideline, and just, you know, that he's supporting you by him being on the sideline. He doesn't give you any points or anything on what to do, but yeah. But just being there on the sideline, I think that's that quiet just makes you feel good.
Mm. Hey, so. But hey, also sending you to the church university is another way he influenced you. You know? He was all about that.
Yeah. All right, this one's for Houston and Hema from Kelly Amison. What does it mean for you to have a dad who was one of the OG running back greats at BYU? Let's start with Hema.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. Like, that's one thing, like, that's a core part of who we are, I think, at least the siblings, right? The kids, our dad's kids. Like, we are very proud of the fact that he was such an awesome runner and that he represented this university. And, like, yeah, it's like who we are.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of the you don't want to let that name down almost. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you have a dad who set everything up for you. Like, he probably did the worst part of it, and here I am reaping the benefits, you know. And it's kind of like, am I going to make this worse or better? And it's hard being in the shadow of this dude, because I go to, like, I'll go see doctors, and I'll go see random people. They're just like, oh, hey, Mooley. Oh your yeah. dad, Locke. And then some even 100%. Like, oh, hey, Mooley, I follow you on Twitter. That's Hema. If you're on Twitter, Hema. If it's in life, Locke. So I'm kind of just squishing this middle ground. But yeah, it's one of those things. So.
Hey, I've gotten an awful lot of speeding tickets because of my last name. I think, you know.
Speeding ticket? Houston.
But for reals, though, like, you don't want to let that name down. So, like, you know, that name on the back of our jerseys is, like, the most important thing to us.
Yeah. And Houston, I don't think you give yourself enough credit, by the way.
Oh, well, I appreciate
for how
that.
Well you've done. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, with the name, Harrison's in Tonga now, and then still people coming up to him and say, oh, how you related to Locke, you know? So they still remember, in the church community, they know the Hemolis because of BYU. You
I
know?
Love
so,
it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that name. All right, we're getting into it with Scott King on X here. He says, how are we getting to the top of the Big 12? He wants your opinion on all three of them.
How do we do it?
Yeah, how do you do it, Scott? Hema? Answer it.
Scott, even if we knew the answer, we wouldn't tell you for free. Are you kidding
People
me?
People get paid for this stuff.
I would, yeah, I'm going to get paid if I knew that answer.
Okay, Locke, you mentioned going after some members of the church. That's one of the things you mentioned earlier
right,
in the interview.
Right.
What do you think, what advice would you give Kalani on year two of the Big 12? That's hard.
it is hard, but, oh, I don't know. I said just win.
Yeah.
It's a great answer.
That is a good answer.
Yeah.
It's just, winning fixes everything. And that's, you know, I remember our dad telling us that. Winning fixes everything. You could have the worst game of your life if you won. You're like, it's over. Wipe the slate clean. Do better next game or whatever. Yeah. Winning fixes everything.
Mm-hmm. So. Scott, there's your answer. How do you get to the top of the Big 12? You win.
Just win.
There you go.
It's a cultural thing, though. Like, it definitely is. If your team has an attitude to win, they will win. Even coming off a bum season sometimes, you know, even when I was at Stanford, you came off a bad season. If your attitude was, oh, that season was bad. Oh, here's another one. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
But if you come off that season, you come off a good spring ball, strong, and your team is ready, you will win games, especially teams you shouldn't be winning against.
Yeah.
And BYU can do that, but Kalani has to continue to instill a confidence in his group.
I think he's trying to do a good job with building up that morale. Mm-hmm. The team has to come together, and then I think he's facilitating some of the things to make the team together.
Especially his hires. Like, he's hired some great assistant coaches.
Yeah, like. And then, you know, when we in 84 season, we had players where, I mean, I was the starter, and then I never had any experience in Division I college football, you know. And then we had a ragtag team come together in 84, but we love each other. That's the thing, you know. When you start if you make a mistake, and we did make a lot of mistake that year. We did. I fumble a lot. Bosco threw a lot of interceptions. But when you come around, when you come to the sideline and the defense said, don't worry about it. We're gonna get the ball back, you know. And that kind of, you know, it makes you feel better. And then when the defense starts struggling, we say, hey, don't worry about it. Just stop. Just make one stop and then we'll score. You know, I think Wyoming game, we were going back and forth. And the defense was just having a hard time stopping Wyoming running shoot offense. And then we said, okay, if we can just stop them one time, you know, the offense, we'll get it done. And then I think that kind of togetherness, and if you build up that cohesiveness in the team and the players to not so selfish.
Yeah.
Instead of blaming, yeah.
And I think Kalani is trying to get that instilled in his team right now. If they get together and work together, it doesn't matter what kind of talent you have. He can beat anybody with if you stay together and love each other. You know?
I mean, the 84 team, it was a rebuilding year, right?
Because 83
had all the talent.
Yeah.
And a lot of them left. I remember something Vi told me that, like, Lavelle told you guys, and it was something to the effect of, like, Lavelle's concerned with building champions, and the championships will come, you know, with that. I think Kalani is trying to build champions right now, and it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it's even more difficult and with NIL and all the different things that make players a little more selfish, and you can't blame them. It's very difficult, but that makes Kalani's job a heck of a lot harder.
It makes it a lot harder, with the money.
Oh,
It's make it difficult.
But he's doing, I think, the best job he can.
Yeah.
And you can probably chime in, is I think what he's doing is similar to Lavelle. You know, he builds a great program around him. He's building a lot of, like, bringing in great coaches, great players. And you almost want to be autopilot. Like, you almost want these coaches to coach their guys and these guys to coach themselves.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I think a hallmark of a great coach. And I think Kalani is trying to do that here.
Yeah, getting the Jay Hills, getting the Jay Hills. Stuff like that.
Absolutely.
All right, Rust on X. We have two more questions, guys. Here we go. For Lake, what was the talk in the huddles like in the fourth quarter against Michigan in the 1984 Holiday Bowl, being down 17-10? Robbie was limping badly after injuring his leg, and the Wolverines were surely licking their chops. So what was the conversation like in that huddle? Do you remember?
There was not a whole lot of conversation. Robbie Bosco did all the talking. You know, he said, just give me time. I'll throw the ball. And you know, we just kind of, you know, try to pick each other up, you know, in a huddle. But not a whole lot of talking. Well, the only one that was talking was Glenn Gustloff. I remember Glenn.
He always does a lot of talking.
He doesn't stop talking. Let's be honest.
The only thing that I remember was Glenn, because I'm going to be open. You know, so. Yeah.
Glenn was kind of like white noise, because he was always talking. Just white noise in the background.
Yeah, but everybody else was quiet in the huddle. We just listened to Robbie and see what he's telling us. But, yeah.
All right. The last question for you guys. Andres on X said, what is the best counsel Lavelle ever gave you?
The best counsel he gave me was, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'll tell you a story, like a short story about, so I ran into Coach Edwards when I was in, like, 2014. I was working in the Sky Club at Delta, or, like, you know, in the airport. And in came Coach Edwards and Patty, and I, like, got up out of my desk and, like, ran straight over there. And, you know, he was old. He was at the older stage of life at that point. And I introduced myself. I shook his hand, and I said, going back to the last name thing, I was like, oh, my name is Hemahemuli. I'm Lake's son. And his eyes, like, lit up, and they were so bright. And he was just like, oh, how's your mom and how's your dad doing? And he then like I said hi to Patty, and she's like, oh, how's Panya, our mom, and aww, stuff like that. And anyways, it's not necessarily advice, but a lesson through example is that, like, Lavelle truly loved his players, you know, our dad included. And, you know, even towards the end of his life, you know, he remembered them and he cherished those relationships. And so I've tried personally to, like, cherish the relationships that I've have with people and family and things like that. So.
And Patty as well.
Yeah.
Did such a good job with that. Well, you guys are awesome. Hopefully that wasn't too painful for you all.
I was waiting for the question about which Himuli's son is handsomer.
Oh, yeah, there was. Yeah. You're right. I don't know who asked it.
We don't have to talk about it.
I don't know who asked it, but someone did ask on Twitter. One of you two, I think.
Thanks again to Lake Hema and Houston Himuli for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.